Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcasts while driving. It's just a generalized update about various things that was coming across an intersection, and you'll hear different road surfaces, different traffic noises. Hopefully you won't hear me crash. Just looking out behind me. Oops. And yeah, we've just come out of a large section of rain, and I'm going to cover a range of topics. Firstly, about electronic configuration. So I'm doing an electronic configuration quiz, and I think people might be interested to sort of know what's going on. The organisation of the quiz is actually relatively simple. You just turn on Audacity and you record into Audacity, pressing R to do your initial recording and then Shift R to do following recordings on top of that. If you keep on doing R, it does separate recordings. I suppose it's not all that bad, but you press Shift R, and when you want to stop recording, you press Stop. And initially, I just hadn't picked up that I had unplugged my microphone. It was, a listen back to it. I said it's a bit echoey, and it's because it was picking off my computer rather than that there. It's pretty remarkable what can be heard off. So the first couple of questions are going across, and it should be fairly uniform. I really don't expect any major mistakes. So the first couple of quizzes are just get it out there, test the system. The chlorine quiz is starting to get into quantum mechanics of chlorine. Now the electron configuration quiz is more of classic teaching, and when you're doing a quiz, an international quiz, you realise that you can take a far more nuanced... Oh, just turning off here. So I'm just adjusting the air conditioning. It's suddenly gone hot again. I can't tell you what the temperature is here out in Australia, going down. Okay, there's all these electron configuration stories which are built up in Australia. It's all a bit of a mess at school, and it doesn't link on to quantum mechanics. And let's talk for a while. So, besides people, electron configuration, the first question is about what is configuration? And configuration is basically system settings. So, configuration, you can, you can configure a phone, a sandwich, different ingredients in a sandwich to make up a system of a sandwich, which operates as a functionality of a sandwich, or a fridge. But if it's just a pile of stuff, it's not a configuration. And that's trying to get that idea across. And that's one of the things, I think, the basic things you need to actually teach when you're teaching electron configuration. What is the word configuration? And then there's the ways that we talk about, what is a configuration? How do you communicate literacy? Now, one of the things is that a lot of teachers just go on the very first bit and don't recognize that they're using other configurations. And then when they hear quantum mechanics, they just say, oh, that's not a configuration. And they just really destroy the field going up ahead. So one of the first couple of questions is, what are the number of configurations? Now, given the way that I do it, I do the explanation first, then ask the question with the different options. And indeed, there are four configurations. And initially, I thought, there's two. There's the classical and quantum mechanical ones. The classic ones are your 2882 for calcium. That's your classic electron configuration, telling you the number in each shell. And then quantum mechanics is 1s2, 2s2, 3p6, 3S2, 3P6, 4S2. That's how you do. So you, quantum mechanics is the numbers features as the occupancies of every orbital type, and shell type, the principal quantum number does go with the shells, I believe. Yeah, the shells. So the principal, so it corresponds in a certain way, but it's a little bit more difficult, or a little bit more straightforward in that it actually tells you about where that model breaks down. The quantum mechanics takes you up to the next level, whereas the Bohr one has these more and more band-aids stuck on them. It's just appalling. Just enough to make you weep going through it. But when you really push it, there's the numerical configuration, there's also pictorial configuration, and that diagram of an atom is not a picture of an atom, it is a configuration shorthand. This is that circle, and, you know, up to four. At school, you have four concentric circles. Oh, no, that's pushing on here. Got to reduce speed. There's a big pops. Going on here. So, yeah, Australia's just gone infrastructure mad, and I don't understand quite what's happening. We're slowly getting rid of our deficit. There's just huge amounts of mineral wealth and robots mining everything, and everyone else just infighting. It's just a disgusting place. So, associated with the sort of simplistic numbers, and the numbers are really simple because they're really good for teaching, because there's no distraction, there's nothing to interpret, there's just, you know, simplicity of numbers. And the diagrams are the same. Now, the thing that I do is add a square bracket. Square bracket one is it tells you that this group of numbers is a configuration, is one thing. And the square bracket says this group of bracket thing is an electron configuration, but there can be more or less electrons here, and it can be charged. So square brackets allow you to put an asterisk after it, an asterisk if it's the electron's in an excited state, or there, like you can have it within an orbital, raised an orbital, or a minus sign if there's too many electrons or too few electrons. You can actually tell. And it's sort of like a diagrammatic viewfinder, allowing you to see a diagram, and after it, it's sort of like you're going into an art gallery, and you want to show a face somewhere, a Botticelli face or something like that. You can go up there with a big bright permanent marker and put a square sound around it, so you can say, "That's a face," and then next to it, it's sort of like augmented reality. I think might be the closest to this. We've got sort of augmented reality for electron configuration. So electron configuration tells you how the electrons are configured. Okay, so configuration is, you like saving the settings. What are the settings for that atom? So there's three so far. So you've got the classic lightweight, classic light configuration light, classic the classic diagrammatic with the augmentation lens graphics around it, and sort of like markup language. Then you've got the other one, which is for quantum mechanics, the boxes. So the boxes represent the symmetries, and in each box symmetry you can have two electrons. So this is by far the king of graphical things. You have a single for the S, 3 for the P, 5 for the D, 7 for the F, little strips of boxes. The F's got 2, the D's got 4, the P's got, I suppose, 6. Depends how you do it, and the S's got 7. It really doesn't matter. And the instruction put across, and it is a graphical thing where you can look at it and you can say, what the electronic configuration, you're trying to build an atom, and you can look at any of these four things and you can read it and you can build your atom, put electrons in the correct position and start to understand what's going on. So the quiz, I've sort of got this a certain way. Now, for me, the quiz moves the actual debate to just teach direct and not having to actually acknowledge people who really don't know about what they're talking about. I'm not being negative about them, but they simply really have no idea what they're talking about. And then it's okay until they actually start teaching garbage. And this is people who have got no idea what quantum mechanics has to offer or to say. Well, there's a fair amount of trucks and cars. I wonder if you can actually hear me going through. And we're about to turn off, so this is doing absolutely fine. Mate, aren't we going quick? So that's the electron configuration stuff. And that quiz is there, and it was an obvious one. That there's, you can see from audience interest, there's interest in this idea of electron configuration, which for me is a cultural thing. It's sort of a bit of a wicked thing, because what happens is when you go into a supercomputer, you actually, for a bond, you... There's cops there. I miss the policeman. For the police... Oh, okay. They're going down here. Okay. So I'm just looking at the traffic at the moment. You'll forgive me doing that. So all this road work. Yeah, so when you're actually doing stuff with a supercomputer, so it's okay. Just a little bit hairy around here, mate. Okay. Yeah, when you're doing with a supercomputer model, what we term as a basis, God-given basis, or God-given configuration, is a basis set. And so, in fact, rather than being a 1 in any one of those things, it's a 0.9 here, 0.7 over here, a 0.07 here, and they've got a phase associated with it, and you have to select those phases, and the system, you set them up with a what you actually think is a good base set, and it will chunder away and actually optimize things. In reality, these orbitals which we do are the symmetry is right there, but they are severely shaped by special relativity. That the electron has the section which goes close to the atom. It's not that it's travelling, but it is relativistic. It's relativistic changes for it. So that's electron configuration, seeing how that goes. And it's interesting to see the interplay of technology, culture, and the production of this process. And it's really, I don't think anyone is really too much concerned about a new medium, a new method. It's the content which is important to get there, and it's one of those things that the content needs to be shaped and comes out by the method going through. So this quiz method is a certain way of addressing that sort of really fundamentals and teaching through. Oh shit, okay, thanks mate. So that was a little red Audi going up ahead, and there's some other areas which are going through. One is again, a similar method. One of the killer experiments, which are just so breathtakingly simple but weird experiments. And there's two of them. One is the Thompson experiment, and the Einstein to Haas experiment. So I'm glad that's one of the great things about podcasting. They are simple but truly weird, therefore engaging. So weird in brackets, therefore engaging. So it's going up. Well, thank goodness I wasn't there. One of the things is that if you are in those left-hand lanes, so there are left-hand lanes with a left-hand arrow, but they go forward anyway. So you can sit there and you can hold up this huge rank of traffic behind you and people get pissed off with you. Okay. So we're looking at this, and I suppose what I'm using this, it's interesting that I've got the idea, and the idea, say, with electron configuration, goes to exploring different technologies, different interactions, or different limitations going forward. Well, here we go. So the different limitations are, what is it? Here is moving out of the, recognizing that you're in a space of quacks and freaks. So what happens is that you can get airtime with a, with your old colleagues and stuff like that. But it's not very far before you're treated as a quack and a freak, and people just don't bother responding to you, even though you write a very short, precise email saying, I'm speaking from so-and-so has recommended I speak to you, which is okay. That generally works. If someone you know well, and they know well, you can get to the next person. When that next person says, I'm not the person to speak to, you really need to have to speak to so-and-so, that trail goes dead really, really, really quickly. And so I was writing to, first off, Sydney University to help me set up the Thompson experiment. And then the second time I wrote off to Melbourne University and University of Newcastle friends, both friends, and said, look, I want to do this. But I didn't change it from, I'm doing this, but I need to try and work out whether it's a rod or a tube. So the idea here is that you heat up a copper rod, run a current through it, and upstream it will cool more quickly, and downstream it will cool less quickly because of it. And so you'll be able to measure it. And there's a whole series of things why this happens, and it's an important thing. Now, this is something, because it's very obvious that something's heating and something's happening with electricity. It seems a very simple but weird experiment. And here, get back from, I haven't heard from Melbourne University, not surprising, because it's still a rather long time since I've spoken with this chap. And what happened is that sort of halfway speaking with him previously, I sort of got all this brain scan results and saying, I have to stop. I have to rebuild. It's not just fun rebuilding. This is basic rebuilding. This is pretty serious. I need to rebuild. So, they want to, sort of recommending I use an infrared camera. Now, I don't know. So this is the idea. Now, what I do understand is, there's two factors which affect this. One is the current density and the gradient. Well, how you get the maximum current density is you have the smallest one, the smallest conductor possible. How you get the maximum gradient is you have the maximum gradient. So it's something which is very hot here and cool here. And then you've got to actually pinpoint that one and measure the temperature of that, which is obviously with a thermocouple. So what I'm tending to do is that you need to build a solid base first, see if you can measure it in this condition, and then build it out to a student demonstration. So this is multiple things. Now, one of the things I said, oops, here we go, whoa. It's beginning to bloody rain again. Oh, thank goodness, because what happened is that I let this pool out. There's raining like enormous quantities, sort of 100 centimetre, 100% is? No, 100 millimetres of rain. A fair dumping of rain. The worst rain on record we've had here, because the pool was filled up and I unfilled it. Now it's raining and it's going to sort of left the pump on a bit too long. It cleared, so hopefully this will get in and dump a bit more rain in to make up. The issue here is it's emerging that there is a very precise proof of principle experiment which involves a single copper wire, some nichrome wire, and a thermocouple. I think I've got all of that here. I don't have my power source still secreted at the school. I do have power sources. There's nothing that frustrates me or use the school. I don't know, understand. We still have dirty 1960s style big transformers. I think I'm doing right here. My Mitchinbury Community Hospital. Okay, here we go around the corner here. That's quick. So we have massive, thick, stupid, robust transformers. Okay, and now the no one has it anymore. These transformers are from yesteryear. Everything is switch mode, computer controlled. And so I've gone off and got my own switch mode power source with voltage current. You know, it's just a regulated power support, so it gives precisely the voltage and current that you want and displays it out. The only thing it doesn't have is a computer readout, which is a bit of a thing. What can I say? The world's changing in a way. I'm going to have to come up here. I'll have a few minutes to finish this off. So I've got to recognise that I have to get up to speed with Raspberry Pi and other things for school automation. So we want a temperature reading here. Something very, very precise, so I'll see if I can get that in. So I was hoping for some help from one of the universities, but no. It looks as though I'm going to have to build it myself, and the overall problem is that building it myself, yes, I can do that. But what we are trying to do is get a simple but weird experiment which ignites passion for quantum mechanics. So I think this one could possibly do it. I'm not sure. We've got to get it up, write it up. The second one is the, so for that, it's, you get a huge heat source, get a very thin wire, a thinnish wire, which can take, multiple amps. And it's not too hard to get a wire which will do that. And even if it starts to overheat, you know, that's okay. You can actually, fairly do it, and a thermocouple to hit it. So this is the idea: is you go in, you strike it very, you build something excessive, and then you can build from that point. You can build out to a demonstration, and you know one would see a kid. So I think it's very important that kids see the Thompson effect, because that's something which really strikes you. Besides the Thompson effect, there's the Einstein de Haas effect, which is ideally simpler. And the idea there is that the angle on that is that trying to get the magnetic field as small as possible. So essentially you have to pay the current to get a magnetic field strength over an entire area, and it doesn't have to be a uniform field. It just has to be a field above the point which causes it to remagnetize. The other aspect of it is that you can choose for it to have a large, sort of slow and very deliberate
oscillation time, but the shorter oscillation times means that you can hit it more and more often. So ideally, you'd want to, ideally I'd like to see something, at the moment when you see it's 2 or 3 times a second, I think you could be able to see something half a second easily. Oscillation time would be something, so it begins to vibrate madly. I would love to see something like that, and therefore, something with a very low moment of inertia to go through. So I'm going to have to stop now and go in for rehab. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.